I said before we start, I just want to thank all our members and studies for your debate and supporting us during the debate. It's like a DJ or me. There's no DJ that has been praised on that platform. Doris, all of your God, by the way, just thank them, the legal team, especially for the work that they've done. That's why, if you notice, we just debated each other because we have nothing to say. We all got to finish. Most of the members didn't finish their time. I had 8 minutes. I think I spoke for 5 minutes, so remember 3 minutes were left, and most members, and Nikki spoke for well, and I was on the board yesterday. I think they overstated that she was excited to be on the former president, to do the commander praise. He enjoyed that session more than anything, and DJ soon will get a report about the issues raised on those visits that we have made, not the issues, but I think one of the issues just briefly to say that please rush to formalize the council at Natal Museum, I think. Yeah, Natal Museum, I think that's, yeah, because it's causing a few issues. Then just advise the minister on that one. And I think the other processes are really going well. We're going to do what the department is doing as far as. And one other issue is, except the DA agreed with me yesterday about the statue issue. I think it's one of the issues that are on the headlines this morning. I'm being called left and right and center, and I still don't retract. I think it's what the committee must take up. If you speak about transformation, we must start with that statue that is in front. I've got nothing against Louis Porter. There are many places where you can go and see that history. We cannot remove it in our history. You can go to Freedom Park as part of the history where we come from, or we see what to do. But when you speak about the responsibility parliament, what speak about, you spoke about Masiba, it's time that this parliament honors Masiba. We must not speak lip service. And I believe that committee members will be one of the issues that we discuss about. Will agree and disagree and agree. Honorable Melder was very happy yesterday. He'll cause enough problems now with God unless there's another. He'll come when we speak about the safety issue. I'm really expecting him there. DJ, I will give you over to you as you give us our fourth quarterly explanation and customer questions. You can give over to that.
Thanks, Chair. Members, thank you for inviting us once again to address the people of South Africa and the businesses and the work that we are doing. If I may just quickly introduce a team next to me. Okay, thanks, Chair. Next to me is Ms. Dobis Kosana, who is our acting CFO. Next to her is Mr. Conrad Kreve, who is the head of human resources and also the acting COO. Ms. Patuza is on leave. Next to him is Mr. Mandla Langa, who is the director of financial management. And next to Mandla is Ms. Kureshni Almeida, who is the head of intergovernmental relations and cluster coordination in my office. And behind me, next to Vera, is Dr. Sakiwa Tiso, who is the head of management and evaluation, as well as good governance in the department. And then next to the lady there is Ms. Koketo Nakedi, the head of special projects in the DG's office. And next to her is Mr. Jabulos Tebe, who is our new economist, also with special projects. And then the gentleman with the spectacles, Mr. Lodwick Ralebibi, who is the DG's parliamentary liaison officer. Next to him is Ms. Tomenasa Kosamba, the deputy minister's parliamentary liaison officer. And next to her is Mr. Sam Mahatlane, the minister's parliamentary liaison officer. Chair, we...
Why do you only beautiful women in your office? I'm that one. The last time I checked, my attrition is gone. I don't think beautiful ladies, but I'm not sure. It's one of the criteria. No, it's not a question. You can just say no. Yeah. Anyway, so next month, thank you. Welcome to the first time. Thank you. Before you present, Uma Mutori is just working. Morning, Uma Mutori. Welcome to our meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Che. Che. The presentation that I'm going to run through, maybe let me apologize, Chair, on behalf of a couple of colleagues. I've already said when Ms. Padusa is on the leave, Mr. Ndima is unable to be with us here today because they are finalizing the reburial of the Binar couple, class employee Binar, who are being reburied on Sunday in Kuruman. The remains of the Koi couple, which was taken for research in Austria, which we brought back, I think it was in April, the reburial is taking place on Sunday. The president is leading that. So Ms. Ndima is finalizing those arrangements. I'm sure the committee has received the invitation. We have sent it. I personally made sure that. I will have it recent again. I have to. I always make sure the company is ready to be present. I will have it recent again. Now, the presentation is going to be, well, basically an overview of our performance for the last financial year, the last quarter of the financial year. The key highlights. Then we're going to get to budget expenditure, and then we're going to explain our variances per economic classification. So this is the overview of the performance as at the end of the fourth quarter of 11-12. Of all our indicators, we had achieved 58% fully. We had 30%. Which was partially achieved or not fully achieved, and then we had 12% which was not achieved at all. And we will explain this as we go along. I must say here that we have just completed our audit, including audit of performance information. This information has changed a bit slightly. I think the final arrangement, the final agreement with the audit system is that I think 68%. Of our targets were in fact fully achieved. And it's only 32% that was either not achieved or partially achieved. But that's going to come when we submit our annual report. And really we're making a comparison between 10-11 and 11-12. We believe that we have been able to increase our performance moving from 44% achievement to 58% achievement. Obviously, the ideal is that we reach 100% achievement of all our targets, and that's what we are striving for. Just some of the key challenges that we have had to deal with during the financial year is the proliferation of unplanned work. I don't like this term, ad hoc, but we keep finding that there are new things that crop up during the course of the year, which was not planned in terms of our annual performance plan. Now, I guess just the way life is, we can't plan for everything, but we need to manage that the unplanned work does not overtake work that is planned for, so that we are able to meet our target. come out of our budget. Both to cater for work which was unplanned and be able to channel resources to some of those things, most of which are really important initiatives, but it's just that they were not planned. But secondly, you recall, Chair, that we introduced a new strategy during the course of the last financial year, so to slow the economy. So we had to reprioritize a substantial amount of our budget towards addressing that strategy. Also, we've had to reallocate personnel away from their normal function. We've had to get people to function, to develop the strategy, which we did in collaboration with the sector. A number of our colleagues had to be taken away from their normal work for a substantial amount of their working time in order to address some of the challenges that came with the strategy. You'd recall that also during the last financial year, we closed the Investing in Culture program. We've had to reallocate some of the personnel so that they are able to give assistance in other parts of the department. Some of our key highlights in the development, preservation, and promotion of arts, culture, and heritage. We launched the JL Dube Legacy Project, which the committee visited last week. We hosted the Indian Festival, which we call Chair, that together with the Government of India, we hosted an Indian festival in South Africa. We had Indian artists visiting and performing across the country. It was a substantial success. We had the celebration of National Days, including Mandela Day. For the first time last year, we celebrated Mandela Day as a National Day, and part of leading the nation in the celebration of the legacy of our former president. But that was not just a celebration. We also had different projects being rolled out. Last year, we focused in Limpopo. We had book donations. We had schools being repainted. We had a number of projects which the staff of the department, together with our partners, actually rolled out. We have been promoting the use of national symbols. Last year, 2,000 flags were actually distributed in all the main provinces, including the installation of those flags in the various schools. The naming of geographic features, the geographic name changes, we received 790 proposals from the Geographic Name Place Council. Of which 107 were approved by the Minister for Publication in the Government Gazette. A substantial number of the others were sent back either for more consultation or to address flaws in the processes that have been taken place. One of which we can mention is the Tswane name change, the actual name of the city. We have had to send it back for more consultation. Because the way grouping with the actually raised objections about the process. So that is how we have been dealing with the geographic name changes. Where last year, Chair, we declared Fort Chaka Monument as a national heritage site. This we did, in fact, at the beginning of this year. The importance of this is that it becomes the first national heritage site in the new dispensation that comes from the old dispensation that was actually declared. The Fort Chaka Monument in Pretoria. But also we opened the Reconciliation Road, which is the road that links Fort Chaka Monument to Freedom Park. The significance really of this road is that it links the two sides of our history. Freedom Park being the representation of the liberation struggle, and Fort Chaka Monument being the representation of that side of history. But the importance is that it's important that we link those, and through that we link the different people that were divided by the history that we come from. We also sponsored a number of productions, including Asquelo, which is the music production that celebrated the history of Alexandra Township, which turned 100 years this year. We also hosted the 25th anniversary of the accident which killed the Mozambican president, Samora Machel. We commemorated that in partnership with the government of Mozambique on the site of the tragedy in Buzini. We also hosted the consultative conference on resources, growth and economy, and really repositioning arts and culture as a major contributor to the economy. And on the films front, we have been able to lobby successfully for an increase in the value of funding that goes to the film industry. We are strengthening our working relationship with the DTI, as well as the ITC on the funding of films. But yeah, that was just one of the highlights. On some of the work that we are doing internationally, we are trying to do two things with our international relations, which I think is quite important. And last year we had discussions with the committee about the focus of our international relations work. What we're trying really to do is, one is to build new audiences and to open up new markets. Probably this will come up when we do our annual report presentations to the committee, but we are focusing our international relations work to really open up new markets for South African goods and services in arts and culture overseas, and at the same time create new audiences in our, in the country through bringing in some productions from outside the country. During COP17, the international conference, we launched the Mzansi Golden Economy Guidebook, which was quite a resounding success, not just the launch. But what we had done is the Mzansi Golden Economy Guidebook, we had gotten information working with the city of Durban of all the cultural and artistic productions that were happening in the city. We put those together and we distributed to all the visitors, all the hotels, and at the conference venue. The result of that is that people could choose what was happening in the city during the time of their visit. In fact, we took some of the productions that were happening right across the country, in the main city, Cape Town, Joburg, and a couple of other areas. So, as a result of that, people in Durban tell us that most of the productions that they were doing, which had nothing to do with COP17, were fully attended by people who were attending COP17. So this really responds to what we had said in Mzansi's Golden Economy, that one of the reasons why people don't attend theater or galleries or some of the things to do with arts and culture, it's because information is not easily available. If you make information available, people will go. And I think we were able to prove that through this guide. We did the Beautiful Things exhibition, which got a prize as the best large green stand award, which incorporated principles of sustainability. The amazing thing about Beautiful Things, apart from the fact that it won an award, is that the exhibition, all of the things, the artifacts and the craft that was used by that was done by rural women, some of them refugees in KZN. So we were able, firstly, to take money where money is needed by buying on a fair price those goods and arranging them into an exhibition that actually integrated the principles of sustainability. Now, most people tell us that COP17 had nothing to do with agriculture, but I think we're able to prove that if we are creative in the way that we do things, agriculture can actually be a way of expressing any message, whether it's sustainability, whether it's job creation. We can use arts and culture as a way of communicating any message that we've been able to communicate. to the GDP of Cape Town and created more than 2,000 jobs. We started working on the flex season. The actual implementation of the flex season started about 2 months ago, but most of the preparatory work for the South Africa flex season started last financial year. On skills development, we provided advisors with 280 graduates and 312 postgraduate students in language writing. Particularly with the passage of the use of official languages, this becomes important because we are building the capacity that is going to help the country to implement that bill. And we believe that it's happening at the right time. Under what's under the heritage, we took 60 letters from all the 9 provinces, taught them opportunities of driving and snorkeling and exploring South Africa's underwater treasures. We did this project together with SARA as well as the South African Navy at Simon's Town. On human language technologies, we are partners with the Northwest University to develop machine translation systems for English to isiZulu, Setswana, and Afrikaans. We've also continued our cooperation with the Dutch Language Union in areas of translation, terminology, literature, and language policy development. The 13th language, national language forum was held in Pretoria, discussing issues related to legislation as well as provincial support. That is the main forum through which we consulted mainly on the language, on the use of official languages bill, as well as the bill which we will be introducing this year, which is the Language Profession Council. The National Braille Production Needs and the Braille Policy, we approved the funding to conduct a comprehensive investigation to the various Braille production houses. Braille production is one of the areas, in fact, the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities tells us that there is a very strong discouragement of the use of Braille happening currently in the country. In universities, most universities, in fact, are no longer using Braille. They are using computers, and they are trying to get blind students or visually impaired students not to use Braille, and they are not producing study material in Braille. Part of the reason why they do that, they say that there isn't sufficient capacity in the country to actually produce documentation in Braille. And that is what we have initiated, this particular process, in order to respond to that. The problem with that is that students or people with visual impairment actually cannot then read anything which is not computerized. Or if there's no technology for voice translation, then they are unable to access that information. And community libraries, these are the amounts which we have transferred to all the provinces. Obviously, the Eastern Cape is where we made most of our investment in libraries, followed by the Northern Cape, followed by Limpopo and Malaba, and then the other provinces. That is where most of our investment in libraries have gone, and most of this has gone towards the building of libraries, refurbishment of existing libraries, as well as equipment and books. There were 13 new community libraries that were built from scratch. We also celebrated the National Book Week, we also have the National Archive Open Week. On some of the cultural agreements that were signed, we signed our cooperation agreement with strategic partners, including Angola, Tanzania, Argentina, as well as Palestine. We also concluded a program of cooperation with China and a co-production treaty with New Zealand. This one, 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 as part of building South-South cultural relations, we have reached agreement with our IPSA partners to explore economic aspects of culture and cultural industry, which is becoming an important part of our international relations agenda. In cooperation with African Union institutions, we have done the ratification and signing of the African Charter on Cultural Recognizance, and we are working particularly with the chairperson of the SADC, which is currently Angola, to promote that across the continent. And through that, we want to strengthen cultural cooperation and integration in Africa. Chair, this is not in the presentation here, but I think just to illustrate the importance of this. A report which was done by UNCTAD, the Trade Commission of the United Nations, reports that despite the economic downturn globally, cultural and creative industries have continued to grow. In fact, in most countries, creative industries have grown at a rate which is more than double the general economic rate. Jobs have continued to be created, whilst most other industries are losing jobs, creative industries have continued to create jobs, and there's been a growth averaging between 8% and 12% of trade in creative goods. But the interesting thing is that of all the global trade in creative goods, Africa only contributes 1.9% of global trade. Now, this means there is a lot of opportunities for African creative goods. We always say that Africans have got natural talent to be creative. So there is a lot of work that we still need to do as Africa in order to increase our contribution towards global trade and creative industries. We're also working with Mexico, Botswana, and Mozambique on rock art, which is a project that we're doing together with the University of Leeds. We have finalized the post-conflict reconstruction and development plan, which we are implementing in the field of arts and culture in the DRC. And on youth development, we have formalized our working relations with the National Youth Development Agency. We have signed an MOU together with them. And this year in January, we launched the Trendsetter Initiative, which introduces young people into arts, culture, and heritage. And we have supported the Food Bank Foundation, their national championship, together with the Department of Basic Education. We are continuing our support of the Food Bank Foundation, which is called an interesting project. I think currently in the country, around 6,000 young people are involved in the Food Bank Foundation in actually learning arts, culture, learning arts and music, as well as life skills through the Food Bank Foundation. Some of our cross-cutting support to disability programs, the Zokala Art Talent Awards, were hosted in collaboration with the FTV. A theater production called African Asinaco Arts featured actors with disabilities sharing the same stage with able-bodied artists. And on governance and accountability, we have reconstituted and inaugurated a number of boards, the NFVF, Nelson Mandela Museum, as well as the National Arts Council. For the first time this year, we signed a shareholders' compact with our 28 public entities, which really outlines roles and responsibilities, which outlines how we expect issues to be dealt with. And we also established a CEO's forum, which is the premier sort of forum through which we plan together with our entities. Now, coming to the budget, by program, on administration, we spend 99% of our budget. On performing arts, we spend 95%. Language, 99%. Cultural development, 86%. Heritage on 82%, and then National Archives and Library, we spend 98% of our budget. And of course, economic classification, capital works 55%, compensation 99%, and agencies and accounts 99%, gifts and donations 100%, goods and services 93%, heritage assets 96%, household 82%, machinery and equipment 55%, on non-profit institutions 100%, payment of financial assets 100%, and on the conditional grant. For the very first time, we spent 100% on the library grant. And this is our payment to some of our institutions. Obviously, 47% of our transfers goes to heritage institutions, followed by the performing arts institutions, followed by libraries, and then councils and non-profit institutions. Our capital expenditure, we will speak just briefly about this, but on our heritage and legacy project, we spent 89% of our budget. On the library service, we overspent quite substantially, mainly because of the capital works being done at the National Library, and performing arts 92%. And we will explain this. I am slightly on outlining where we have spent our library money. These are some of the projects that we have been doing in various, you can see the Norman Museum. I'm not sure if the committee actually went to Norman. We will be formally opening the Norman Museum in December this year as part of the celebration of Reconciliation Day on the 16th of December. The upgrading of the electricity at State Theatre, the upgrading of the Nelson Mandela Museum in the Umtata building, as well as the upgrading of the African Star Museum in Paul. Some of the explanation of the variances, we spent the entire subsidy to our playhouses and heritage institutions and libraries. However, we didn't transfer 10 million rand to the NFBF because they did not comply with some of the conditions that were usually transferred. And this is specifically for the installation of digital screens in the community art centers. On capital work, 75% of the budget has been spent by the end of the fourth quarter. The main reason for our under expenditure is that there was money we would recall that last year we partnered with the ITT for the delivery of some of our projects. There is money which we had already paid to the ITT, which was treated as a prepayment and therefore reflected as money which we had not spent, but it's money that is committed to specific projects which are being delivered currently. On households, our expenditure there was at 82%. This was mainly related to IIC projects that could not be paid out and completed in time, as well as some of the MGE and spent funds. The reason for this change, this is going to be a medium-term problem. When we allocate money to different projects, we allocate a budget, but we don't transfer the entire budget. For simple reason of risk management, we allocate a specific percentage, and as projects are being delivered, we pay out the balance. In fact, the last payment always comes after the project has been completed. A final report together with an audit and financial statements have been given in order to manage the risk in case projects are not transferred. But that always capital assets, we spent 55%, and most of that went into IT equipment as well as heritage assets. The main reason for this is that we did not feel, the main reason for this expenditure is that we did not feel all the positions that we had bought, we would feel during the course of the financial year. Chair, that's our presentation.
I think the honourable members, the DPO has made the presentation, and there will be no confession. I'll just like to note the honourable members, if there's any confession, they are ready. Okay, so now we can start with.
Thank you. Chair, slide 9. You mentioned the Mzansi Golden Economy Guidebook, DG. Where can we get hold of such a book? Is it attainable? And then the 500 yards of the jobs in Cape Town, the international festival. I presume that was not sustainable jobs. I'm interested in that. And then on slide 11, having just passed the official languages bill, many language practitioners will be necessary for the implementing of that bill, you know, in the different government departments, etc. I was just wondering, as far as bursaries are concerned, are any of those students who receive the bursary, are they studying language, are they becoming language practitioners? That's during the fourth term now, and as far as the new financial year is concerned, have they been budgeted for those people, because they will play a very important role. Then the last question, slide 28. 55% of the budget for capital assets has been spent, and then you mentioned IT equipment and heritage assets. I'm just interested, what do you mean by heritage assets? Thank you very much.
I just want to check before I forget and go to the other. You know that we are gripping with job creation in this country, and it's not supposed to be done by the president. I mean, it's like all the departments. And I need to check the size, how many people are employed within the Department of Culture, and if they're planned, are they permanently employed, and if they any plan for growth. That's my first question at that particular area. Secondly, Bengode, I wonder if I pronounce it correctly. Bengode, the community has not been there. Are there any plans to take us to this topic? Thirdly, you don't transfer, which is very reasonable because of the risk thing. You don't transfer the whole amount. But I'm checking if the risk of not greater than that one, such that you weigh. Because if you better not understand, why not transfer the whole amount to us at the same time? Yeah, the other one was asked for this and that the booklet. We definitely like to have it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, the only issue of faith is all the issue of key highlights. As the DG was last week in Kwazulu Natal and versus the Tunde legacy project, and I just want to check really seriously, how much did you already spend on that one? Why I'm saying that there's a feeling that it's not enough to be done. Secondly, on the issue of the promotion of national symbols on the issue of the flag, I mean, it's for us very important to know as a committee which provinces the 30,000 flags were distributed to in which schools. I mean, some of us have contributions where we can check if it's really the truth. But also, I'm saying, while we are driving, because we're not, some of the schools' flags look very terrible. And some of those schools don't have flags. On this hot potato one, on the renaming of your critical research, we also want to know where the those in the application place. I remember the hot potato of Pretoria and Tshwane and those. We want also maybe to check how far is the process of the renaming of towns and so forth. On the issue of skill development, yes, later speaking, when the testimony of the day before, yesterday, and then on the issue of skill development. And as you said, BG, yes, it's the right time. Last time we also get a report from that. We observed that it was only a certain province made this issue of the policy programs happening. So if we can be updated on how far that you reach out from the other province. Yes, luckily, of happily, Northern Cape and we are working at the university, as they were saying. So, I must say, so this is actually a progress, but we are not looking down from culture. Because if you're talking about Africans and you're talking about other indigenous languages, then we must really make sure that we look to the other provinces as well. I want to take a chairperson to you on the issue last time. There was 100 million rand not to spend on the issue of library. Is that money spent? And where did that money be? And where was that money spent? Because I'm not the update on that one. I think we're dealing with the quarterly report. So I was just thinking to maybe just for interest to hear if that 100 million rand was spent. Remember, we in the committee in Max Building, that point was raised by, I think, a pretty young person. I'm not mistaken. Yeah, just for clarity, the CFO is the acting CFO who are here today. So, the last time was also acting CFO. So what is wrong? We can't go from acting to another acting. So that's why I want to ask this. Sorry?
Thank you, Chairperson.
These are the things I want to express myself on. One of them is this undermining of elders. You know, I just want to say, you know, I just learned that I don't know what is happening, you know, when you go to your structures, maybe you should talk about it. I'm listening to Honorable Comrade with talking about Comrade Blade, the minister. Everybody, young people are calling Mandela, Zuma, Blade. I don't think it sounds correct. Those are senior people, Honorable. I don't expect you to fall into that track. Because I know you are long in human speech. This sounds very ridiculous. You know, that's not right. We must address people in a proper manner. The other thing I wanted the city to explain to me is, you know, it wasn't quite clear. It doesn't make logic to me about page 17, what you spoke about the brain music. What explanation are you given by the university on this? And on page 18, on your expenditure, can you explain maybe in detail how did you come to that amount for gifts and donations? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Tori. I think one of the issues is one of those issues we speak about moral regeneration that must be addressed. I was calling Dr. Salam Patakun about this is one of the issues I thought we should raise them. But on my side, DJ, something I choose here that I've left the department to take millions of social responsibility money to consultants. Unfortunately, I cannot say who is it, maybe the minister may have told you. But I'm thinking now, as we're reporting, is investing in culture budget. Maybe you should come to the social community, maybe in a social community, to tell us how did you allocate the money that was in the investing in culture program, because it's one of those accusations that I take very personal, and now the Zaki Golden Crown is a consultant story. I have a serious challenge on the issue of formation of national schools. I've seen them on the schools. I think what I was not raising on schools with the flag is one of the issues that are very important. I think this is one of the issues that must be raised with the Department of Education with Minister Ezekiel Saito. Or your counterpart in her office right now with the central, so I think the whoever is responsible for the program in the department as well. One of the issues, I'm not happy with your communication department issues, because some of those issues are very important for the transformation of our sector. One of the issues that I want to raise is the issue of the recruitment rules. I mean, it's one of the issues that I think the president is very passionate about. But you had the, I read newspapers, all of them, and I'm sure the face is not here today. We always say to them, anything that is on earth and culture, just cut it out, whether it's good or bad, so that we can have it on our own. But there's nothing that you see on any newspaper about earth and culture. Last year, during the PR reporters, we were not even happy about the recent court statement or what was it for the whole year. So I think that communication, that team is not effective. I think we must really be out about it, because really we don't. I mean, you can't be beaten by small new partners like women and children. Each time they have an event,
that's what I'm talking about.
No, not so. No. Women and children, their utility, you read about them on the paper, you know. Okay, some of the things, okay, you must ignore. What I'm just saying is one of those issues. I mean, you speak about productions like, or Azucena. I mean, communities must know about this, because they relate to these issues of Azucena, you know. And I'd like to be respected in this meeting, because I'm talking as a chair. I respect elders, and I also respect them as well. Those are some of the issues that I'm saying right now. People can relate to them. And I always say we must move away from having relations with only the elite media. That's what I always say. You know, why, DJ, we had so much response with the language of peace? It's because our media team targeted even the most lowest media on even community newspapers. And those are the people who support your program. Your elite people will never support them, unfortunately. And I think the issue of I think now I'm triggered by what I see about the Samara machine. DG, if your department doesn't want to vote, invite portfolio communication in the government. We can't be getting invitations last minute or a week before or 3 days before. When you look for SAM, you are told SAM is deployed in that area, is not there. You must talk to this one. When you talk to this one, you are sent to a, you have an event department or something there. You are sent to the event. When you are sent, if you don't have invite, don't invite us. Masato, Jesus. Really, each time we look like fools, as we portfolio committee, the only time whereby we got invitations on time was this social coalition summit. And I must thank the guy in that minister's office, Govandan. He was in the minister, I think he does protocol. If he was not there, we would not have survived in that social coalition summit. We never saw Kawedazi, we never saw Sam, we never saw anyone that we think we can, as the Tupi, someone, that job we can take very good care of us. The issue of the film industry, I am very, very concerned. Even the most, I would call them elite editors, like Tuna Sibiro, would come and say, we don't know what is in film and video. Video Foundation is doing, because even us, they tell you this is a process, this is it, method. There are many people are going to approach you, I don't know who the new CEO now, but people are not happy. I'm happy now in your report that you're also raising issues about them not having transferred the money because they didn't apply or comply to what Asian cards. I'm very concerned about that. And I must say, people who are suffering in this country are African children in this country, because those film and productions are owned by private companies, they cannot accept. So if government is trying to bring a service that is tried and decrease the problem, then why should we keep on supporting the film and video, especially but if there's nothing that they are doing, unfortunately. And we speak about you launched them once the Golden Economy by a guidebook. I'm happy with that. But DG, can it be translated in all languages? One of the issues that we raised yesterday at when we were debating the issue of the bill is that people don't understand government services or what is done, because it's not translated in the language that they understand. If you take a child from Limpopo, you know, the economy, he is very, very loved and that's the other thing. You know how I feel about this case, how it is, but I don't want to raise an emotion. The job there, you cannot come to the person with 2,000 jobs, but they are not sustainable. It's a job for 2 days or 3 days. Yes, we appreciate it, but to me, it doesn't make any sense. What are the follow-up programs after that? I know, you try to smooth me up during the budget vote, you say, see, those boys are created by the festival, not put a mail about that or not. If they have a social responsibility, I don't know. But on job, what is the sustainability? What is being done to ensure that at least maybe a certain number of people, 100, until the next festival, something is being done? Because each year, the numbers increase. Each year, sponsorship or whatever we call it, increase. You know. That other story on page 10, the fact is, MNE, I am not happy because I got a report that some of these students don't finish in courses. I think it's Rhodes University where the problem is. What are you doing about? What is the follow-up? I want us to report. I asked the union, and who gets this bazaar? You know, I think now, in Parliament, you've got nothing to hide when you look at something. You must tell us, who is this from which province? You know, I come from Gauteng, but we've got the tendency of concentrating on Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. I'm not sure because it's the DG from PNC or what is it, but we've got that tendency. Not only this department, but many departments, they've got that tendency of concentrating on these two provinces. What about children from the Northern Cape? What about children from other provinces who really need it at the end of the day? We had a big attack, and I think Social Cohesion Summit revealed how angry the Cohesion Nation is in Kabatu. They feel very fierce. Are you reaching at that level of going to mirror in the Northern Cape day after in the place? Those are some of the issues that I should raise. This underwater heritage. I'm not choice, but my choice at the end of the day. What I know about less people that care of voting, so I'm not sure. I need a break. Nobody feels that they do. Check the swimming now in the Olympics. How many black people have risen there?
I agree with you, honestly.
On Avantipela, I was scared to even get closer to the ocean when we had to go to Robin Island. That man had it right when we saw water. I'm thankful because it's not here. When we saw water, what is now my ancestors against me? Yes. And I know what I'm talking about. And what scientists who graduate by profession, I always narrate the story because people think I'm lying. Our African students passed because maybe of the high marks. When we were to do that diving story, I said to God, I was saying I'm dying. I had to do it because I wanted my marks, because I wanted to be an A student. One of the criteria was to do diving, and there were no Africans. It was me only. They said they would rather do something as well. This underwater heritage of yours, we have to break it down so that we see who is here and from where. At the end of the day. Okay, today I'm happy about it, but we can do more about it. I know you say it's expensive, but one area I'm not happy about, I know you should the responsibility, but others will say it's not a departmental responsibility, it's a provincial responsibility. Others say it's not provincial, it's a local government responsibility. It's like that. Wherever we go, wherever we go oversight, the pile of the letters in the office is about that. National government is one of the big grant provinces. And I believe it's a unit to take it from the federal government and for MNE of that. Having stayed with an Umdanzana, how was Umdanzana? You are in Nolalu. Who from Tanzania? Masur. How I won't leper in Tanzania? I grew up there. I've never seen a leper. I'm not sure what I said. This is one of the issues. I think I'm raising this in the portfolio committee for the second time. Elector in Tanzania. Umdanzana is the second biggest township in South Africa. But the library, I'm not teaching. All those are there. I've never seen. And this is some of the issues that are raised. The money off from consultants must be taken to library. Why should we have consultants when we're saying we're creating jobs? I'm not saying that we must not do it. There are substances, but I don't believe that small department like this can have a lot of consultants. The library issue is an issue that is raised, even when we go for oversight, people raise issues of libraries. We don't have libraries. I know you say it's not your responsibility as the provincial report, but it's an issue that we must raise as well. Maybe in the next report that we have written, give us a breakdown on the libraries and poverty. National relations, I am not sure what MOU did you sign with the NYCA and with Vanga system. And okay. Expenditure. I've not raised an issue about the administration part of it. I know you've raised concerns to you say that you are over an administration or over staff, but you can't be happy about it. We raised it when you were first appointed to this. When you arrive here, people can act. I know it's an absent part of the department, people are acting, starring, but this has to come to an end. Those working is not necessary. One of the issues that we've been really raising on that issue. Excel work. Machinery and equipment. Customer development. Some of our cars are why less than 90? That the allocations for the province on page 21 are worrying. I know you tell us the state is smaller than, and the population and the demographics are smaller, Northern Cape is smaller, but what I've realized, these are the provinces that need more than these big ones. You know, to go for housing, that's more than anybody. You go to, what is the criteria? I think it was not thought the last time I asked about this allocation criteria. You know, I know you tell us there are more people in this area, there's no more need, but where you allocate more, I don't see any need. The need is where you allocate less. Unless I'm wrong, honorable members. Allocate more money on KZN and go on housing, okay, then I'm fine. Then you have a small province like Northern Cape that complains we even get the smallest budget but even national is allocated. I know you come with a financial language that I don't understand. I mean, I'm just a politician. I don't understand the financial language. I would just want to deliver. If Gauteng can't spend it, why not give it to Northern Cape? Or give it to the Free State or give it to the Limpopo. I would think it was money. I don't know how, I saw you have a new lady as intergovernmental relations. You see, one of the issues about money, why we cannot go, we're told that the road is settled, the worst thing. What is the use of building museums when people cannot go there? Because most of these areas, the issue is the road. So I don't know with your fellow DGs, those are some of the issues that are raised, even by the tourism portfolio committee. The world, they people want to go to these places, but the roads are horrible. We can't go to these places, you know. The roads are horrible, you know. So I think this is one of the issues that was raised in tourism. They say, no, we want to go to these places, especially, you know, people are really looking for it, but I think the roads are horrible. I don't remember which other place that we went to, but it's the same issue. I know you don't deliver roads, but I'm saying in those intercommunities, these are the issues because you want tourists to come from all over the world, but in my opinion, I thought just I should just raise this on those issues. I'm happy. happy with what this is done. Some of it not transferring the 12 million to NFD. Okay, those are my issues for now. Is there any other member maybe who was a honorable? Shilivan, I did not see when you come in. Welcome to the meeting. Okay, I didn't see you. Honorable Karai and Honorable Shilivan. Honorable Shulano? Okay.
I think the chair, I just want to reiterate what the mayor has said about other improvements that is happening. For what you have done since you took over this department. About this library, you say somewhere you have a personal library which has been in the urban area. I just want to know which area, because where I come from, we still have a problem of library, unfortunately. And then the other things I think have been covered by the chair and other speakers. On page 36, you speak of the money transferred to IDT as a prepayment in the 2011-2012. I'm not sure, I don't remember, well, it's not longer than the book of the parliament, but I don't remember where we got a breakdown of how the IDC needs the money. What I know is that they do break down in by the Department of Public Works, because I think it's Department of Public Works. But if we also give them some amount, I think it's necessary, or I think it's important that we know how they make use of this money. Because in the past, when IDC has improved now, I remember when we had oversight some years back, we went to Mpumalanga, they were saying they were going to show us some projects, and they were completed. But when we got there, we found that there was no project. There was a project, it was highly incomplete, but the money has been spent. So that's why I'm very skeptical with the IDC, the committee, the department, which gives IDC money. We really don't even know what they're using the money for. Because as I say, I had a very, very negative report. But what I saw with my own eyes with IDC was not very good. So I think that's all that I want to say, that let us make sure the money that is used by IDC is properly used. Chair, thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. Let me also welcome the report from the and only on one issue. I'm not sure where the commission on delivery is doing what. I see allocation per province, but I don't see no question. And here I'm not sure whether we have a province called Maputo. So that is the reason that I'm not.
Thank you, Honorable Sarai. Honorable Munda, and I'll end you, Honorable.
Yeah, Chairperson, most of the questions that we have has been raised. Maybe the DG representing the department may also even explain to the committee. The information that we get, or even the concern, let me call it a concern. Let me single out one of the areas that we have visited, the heritage site, the declared heritage site, JLD West. Somebody who will find was talking like having a concern, not knowing exactly what the department is aiming at. Because he started indicating that since the then minister Jordan, they came here, declared this site, and we haven't seen any improvement, and we don't know the then minister Lulu Chinwad, the minister now, and so on. So,
million.
by the department, that immediately, or maybe if we have declared the strike, the process will go like this and this and this. Because people becoming inquisitive just to find it, to see the department coming back very quickly doing 1, 2, 3, that is something which they anticipate. So I just want to know what might be the program there after declaring the strike. And then the second point, I'll not, I can emphasize more of what Jefferson and my colleague have indicated on the communities like that. I think, yeah, we maybe one is trying to ask himself or herself to say, when grants are being allocated maybe to local government, local government decide on where could they put the library. More so you find out maybe others are being put in townships and leave the more rural villages where libraries are also needed there. And then you find out we don't even understand how do they operate sometimes, but at least now, as for today, I heard the DG talking about now, 100% of the grants have been used. So it shows that there is an improvement on that. And then the last one maybe, I wonder whether it's a question, this one, but let me talk about it to understand or try to see. The department has also signed a shareholder compact with 28 public entities. If you can share with us, you know, the critical, you know, the content of this kind of shareholder compact. Sometimes we, for instance, you remember the year we have been wrestling with this kind of pencil. When things are not exactly far, they start shifting out and say, no, we have not been established by this kind of legislation and so on and so on. So that is something that maybe we can be privileged to know exactly. Not all of them, but just to give, you know, the main ones that we might, that we can also allude to when we discuss this. And then the other one has been with two members here. Yeah, let me not dwell on this. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. I forgot one question as you spoke of the road I was reminded that I found myself driving at a Kunu road where the former president Madiba comes from. That road is so terrible, and I want to plead with the Department of Arts and Culture that since this is Madiba month, we should definitely recognize the things that he did for this country, uniting all of us. That road, you can't drive there and still be happy after driving that road. Two new roads. Unless it's something like that, since the wedding, that was mandatory. That's when I thought it was, even the road at Minga, where I grew up at that, the west road on S, and that's the home of the former president, Mandela. And when I asked his grandson, he said a lot of things were done and nothing happened. So I think if us as the committee can, at least before our father calls Madiba, we will be here, at least something must be done, that will be said. Thank you.
And thank you, TG. I would request you now to answer with the department. I'm not sure the members want to go 5 minutes, 10 minutes break. Yeah. Does not break. Okay. It's 11. Okay, it will be here at 11 o'clock. Okay, then when he comes back, it will be. TG.
because that's called an economic guidebook. Sure, we can make copies. I hope, yeah, we still have copies available. But let me just explain that the guidebook is what we are trying to do for when we've got major events in the country. For instance, next year we'll be having the IBSA summit in the BRICS summit in March. You've got a whole lot of people coming for a specific conference, but there are arts and cultural things that happen. It will be in Durban. There are arts and cultural things that happen in Durban, in the Bell Center, Aspire Casino, and all sorts of things. What we do is we produce this guidebook together with the municipality and the arts institutions in the place, so that people have information of what is happening in that particular place. Then they can go there. We don't necessarily take them there ourselves, but we just provide the information. And we will make the guidebook available for that. The jobs to the Cape Town Jazz Festival. Sure, there are a kind of different categories of jobs. There are jobs which are for the duration of the festival. Most of them are. But there are jobs which are sustainable, which get created, We can make, in fact, those numbers available. Sure, I think perhaps it's important to go back to how the sector creates jobs. The sector creates jobs. If you've got something like the Cape Town Jazz Festival, jobs are created during the festival. The people that actually do the sound, they do the lighting, they do all of these things, the artists that actually perform, those are some of the jobs. But jobs are also created elsewhere. They are created in the transport industry because there are a lot of people who actually come to visit Cape Town. They are created in the hotels, restaurants, all sorts of different places. So, for us, the critical thing is that we provide certainty. Because if I am running a hotel and I know that at a particular point in time there is a festival and 1,000 people or 5,000 people, whatever the number is, come to Cape Town, I am able to create, to employ the people that I need to employ in order to make that demand. The problem is that this sector has not been very clear about what are the different things that happen in the country. Part of the census golden economy, part of cultural events, is that we've got to create certainty. We've got to have these things distributed across the country. We've got to have them consistently at a particular point in time. If you know that in August or in September there's Makofe in Bloemfontein, you know that that's where jobs are going to be created. That people are able to gear themselves and they are able to budget for it and they are able to sustain jobs. That is how the sector creates jobs. Some of those jobs, most of those jobs, yes, will be short term, but some of them are going to be sustainable over a period of time. The issue of buzzers, there were a number of questions around the buzzers. The buzzers that we provide, we don't make the decisions of the allocation of money. We give money to the university. We've got several universities that we have an agreement with. It's the University of Zululand, the former University of Zululand, Ongoye. We've got an agreement with the Nelson Mandela University, the Walter Sisulu University. In the Eastern Cape, we've got an agreement with the University of Limpopo. We've got an agreement with the University, the University of Natal in Japan, and we've got an agreement with the University of Houston. We give the bursary money to them. They apply their own criteria on who gets the bursary. We say to them that you will give needy students and students from previous disadvantaged backgrounds, but who have shown academic they give the bursary. So the whole administration and the choice of selection is managed by the universities. We don't get involved in that. They report back to the department, and we are able to account for that. Yes, we've got an ongoing budget for bursary, because we believe that it's an area of growth. We've got that both for this year as well as for the NCEF. We run two bursary programs, one for languages and one for heritage. The department, we employ 437 people as a department. But, I mean, obviously, I'm not sure, Dr. Tiso, do you know how many people are because we only, the 430 people that are employed by the Department of Arts and Culture, but there's a whole lot more which are employed by all our information, the museum, the performance center. I'm not sure if we've got that number. If we don't have that, we will take, they're all permanent. And yes, we are increasing. We'd like to increase a lot more. We believe that the need is a lot more, but we are constrained by our personal budget. I can make available how much we have spent on the Dube project, but let me just explain that the Dube project has three elements. The first element was to declare the graves and to renovate the graves. That has been done and that is completed. The second element, the buying, the purchasing of the actual house on the site and turning that into a home museum. That is a process. We have reached agreement with the family. We have reached, we've got an understanding of how much we're going to pay them and all of that concerning the house. That process is now with the Department of Public Works, because we don't buy the property ourselves. Public Works buys it on behalf of on behalf of us as a government department. They are managing that. We are trying to push them to finalize that so that we can start the creation of the museum. The third element of that is then the implementation of a broad master plan of that project, because we want it as a precinct, not just the Dube family alone. We've got plans for a creation of a community center. We've got all sorts of other plans out there. That is the third element. Next year. But the graves have been done. We are purchasing the house now, and we'll be doing the house museum there, and then the third phase of the entire proceeds around the area. And we have agreed with the city that they are going to include it as part of the Durban Inanda Heritage Route, which is a project that has always been run by the city. So we are working with the city and the province in terms of consolidating that entire project in that part of Durban. The flags. I'm trying to actually get them from the office to send us a list of where we've been, the schools that we have done the flags. What we do is we request the province to give us a list of schools. We take it year by year. We did 3,000 last year. I think the tender is out. This year we are doing about 5,800 if I'm not mistaken. Now, the list is given to us by the province. And based on that list, we appoint service providers to go and actually do the installation. Chair, I cannot remember who raised this question, but I think a very important question is about the maintenance of this field. The agreement between us and the Department of Basic Education is that we install the flag and the schools maintain the flag. Now, if in installing the flag, the schools take responsibility for ensuring that the flag is actually hoisted in the morning every day, the flag is actually it's taken down at the end of the school day, that it's properly folded and put away in a safe place. All of those responsibilities are taken up by the school. Now then is our arrangement. Whether it's working or not is probably another matter altogether. name changes taking place. There are a range of name changes that are taking place. A lot of the rate of the name changes, it's the correction of names rather than new names. For instance, a lot of names in the Eastern Cape and in KwaZulu-Natal where a misreading of the language, I'm trying to think of an example, Bizana has always been known as Bizana, but the real name was Bizana. So a lot of those have been there. Then there are those names which have changed of a town's name. I mean, Witbank changed from Witbank to Malachi. Nelspruit changed from Nelspruit to Bombay. We can make a list available of those names. A lot of, well, a few of them, let me say this, have been controversial. We have had to stand back. Some of them have been challenged in court, like the Hina. That matter is in court. That's why the thing is probably going to end up in court. So those are the things that the minister manages together with the National South African Geographical Name Change Council. Then there were questions around Conrad will deal with the questions around vacancies and activities. I must say, Chair, that Conrad will explain how it happened that we where we are, but on Friday this week we are having interviews for some of our teaching positions. We are hoping that in a little bit over a month's time.
Can I just allow the super minister break so maybe we can just take tea and come back here because I can see the eyes saying tea to me. Just 5-10 minutes break. The bathrooms are at the side. Just 5-10 minutes and we can continue the meeting. I know after tea it doesn't matter.
I don't know why, but I'm afraid. Thank you. I think
something. I think before breakfast, you were doing over to Kondra. Thanks for that, for calling out your first name. I just copied from the business. There's a lady from the Bergen. I think she's here. Huh? I know she was looking for that special issue yesterday. So, I'll put it over the phone. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, DJ. And I was just saying, these questions about vacancies and filling off posts always come up at every meeting. And well, I'm not complaining about it, but at least it justifies my trip to Cape Town every time, because if I keep quiet, then it'll be regarded as fruitless expenditure. See, with regard to the filling of vacancies, as the DG has indicated, we have recently, or maybe before I go to the advertising off post, and I know we're scheduled to present the structure at next week's meeting with the portfolio committee, but just as a matter of update or progress, that the minister has since approved the macro structure of the department, which means that the higher boxes within the organizational structure from director upwards was signed off by the minister. What we are currently doing is to fill in the lower levels, placing people against positions, which will then obviously result in some of the acting positions being reconsidered until the positions are permanently filled. What we have also done is, and without going into details of the new structure, but there are four vacant Deputy Director General positions which report directly to the DG. Those four positions were advertised in the course of June and July. And we will be conducting interviews for the Heritage and Arts and Culture Promotion and Development positions on Friday with the Minister. We also then have a DDG Group Services which has been advertised, as well as, and I think the issue about the CFO, we have since, or when the Minister approved the new structure, he approved our CFO position as a Deputy Director General, because it is true that we've really been struggling and there's a lot of work that has gone into us wanting to recruit a CFO at a Chief Director level. However, we have evaluated the position and it was now created at a DDG level. Now those two, the Group Services and the DDG CFO, will also be interviewed shortly, as has been advertised. So we have been making some progress. We will also be advertising some of our other senior management positions below DDG within the next couple of weeks. But we are looking forward to sharing with the committee our structure that has been signed off by the minister. Chair, I think that addresses the issue about the filling of vacancies and acting.
Then there were a range of questions around donations and gifts.
Thank you, Chair. The 354,000 on donations and gifts were made as follows. Specifically, 50,000 was for funeral for first party president, 72,000 was for World Cup championship for Peppermint Art, 71,000 also was for commemoration of King Fatana, and 3,000 was for musical instruments for correctional centers. and 43,000 of that was ministers' public participation, and 32,000 was for the sum of 32,000 was for senior management that resigned from the department. Those were gifts, and also sponsorship for paper and land, and that totals to 354,000. Thanks. Party president, that was the donation, 50,000.
So what we did is we paid for two representatives from the first bus office in South Africa to go to, I think it was Ghana, to attend the funeral of the president of the bus. Let me speak briefly about Braille. The problem, and I'm not an expert on this, the department, we don't know sufficient about this, which is why we have initiated this study to understand the needs and supply of Braille in the country. But from what we get from the Department of Responsible for Disability, they say universities, because of the low cost of using computers, they simply use computers, which means if you are a visually impaired student, you've got to have a computer which translates documentation into voice, and you can listen to it, rather than having everything on Braille and therefore you can read for yourself. Now, it seems to be cheaper for the institution. The flip side of it, though, is that students can only have access to information that is on computer, and a computer which has this voice translation facility. If you're at home and you want to read the paper and you don't have that on the computer, or you don't have the technology, you don't have access to that information. So, that is why we've initiated this study, to understand exactly the need, but also to take a strategic view of government, what we need to do about the promotion of Braille. If we need to invest in the development and the production of Braille in the country, then we should do that, but we need to understand the terrain.
The explanation I was asking about is to make me understand the practicality of the region. The city that we don't know, because you see, we went to Grahamstown, we saw the importance of Braille. And if we are talking about voice, and Braille is about the feeling and the brain, they get acquainted to the alphabet, so that they know what alphabet is this. And how are you going to know if you are going to be guided by voice? That's the practicality I want to know.
So, that's the problem that we have in this entire. But we will, once the study has been completed, we will put the committee. There was a question around this slide about the provincial schools, this slide here. This is allocation of the province of our capital budget. Now, the provinces, I mean, Mpumalanga and Northwest are not here. The simple reason for that is that we don't have projects, we don't have capital projects in those projects. As a department, this is not the library grant. This is our capital expenditure. The project in Maputo, that's the Matola Lake monument, which we are building in Maputo. In the Eastern Cape, most of that money is the Nelson Mandela Museum, which we are building there. In the Free State, most of that is going towards Bayouk, as well as some of the money that we have in the renovation of Parkhofs. In Gauteng, most of it is going towards the Freedom Park. Development, the development of KZN, most of it is going
museum as well as the playhouse, the consumer center playhouse. It's part of its physical as well as Northern Cape. It's money that we gave towards the Kimberly Theatre. We gave them some money for some renovations there. And in the form of most of this money is going towards Muyesh, which is a project, a community development project which we're doing for Muyesh. There was an interesting question about the provision of loans to some of our institutions. It is a serious problem. It's a serious problem with the Nelson Mandela Museum, with Norme, with a number of others. What we are doing in Kandolo, in the Eastern Cape, the Oar Tambo project, we have agreed with the provincial department of roads. They are providing we've made a bit of money available to them to help them. They ran out of the budget. We normally get caught in a difficult situation. We can't build an attraction if nobody can get there. And if the provincial authorities do not have the money, sometimes we may have to make a bit of a contribution towards that. It's just that kind of
I'm asking you a simple question. I don't expect a department usually funded like Arts and Culture to be assisting big departments like roads and insurance. It really doesn't make sense. Those are some of the questions that are also raised with some of the reasons when public works is not coming on board. So I'm not sure, that's how I asked earlier on about the relations with these. Because if there's a problem, then we might as well call a joint committee with these departments, because these are really challenges. Because, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think I'm pleased with the answer that you are really giving me on those ones.
I fully agree with you on that. We shouldn't. In certain instances, we have had to do that work. And it's an error that we do need to address. There were questions around the film industry and the complaint that people don't see what the NABF is doing. Chair, this is what the NABF does. NABF does funding mainly. I think they can fund films up to 250,000 rands. Now, part of the problem in South Africa, particularly when you are doing feature films, is that you've got to have, most feature films, if you are talking a low budget movie in South Africa, you're talking nothing less than $5 million. Now, NABF can only give up to $250,000. So most of that is really startup cost. The second problem is that I've sat down with the NABF and we have looked at what most of their money goes to. Most of the money that they give to filmmakers goes to the hiring of equipment. That's where most the bulk of the money goes. Now, we are looking at a mechanism together with the ITC of making equipment available to filmmakers a lot cheaper than currently it's happening. The third problem, and this relates particularly to the SABC, cost of making a movie are high if you don't know that you're moving your film. If you know certainly that the SABC is going to buy, the films, the cost comes lower. If you look at the SABC's expenditure on local content,
it has been decreasing. Now, with the digitization, we believe that there's going to be a change. But until we've got more certainty that, I mean, filmmakers have got certainty that they'll be able to sell their videos, I mean, their films to broadcasters, the cost is going to remain high, unfortunately. And that's the situation, because they've got to address their risk. Dr. Tiso, there are a couple of questions which I thought you may want to respond to in the shareholder context.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, members of the committee. I think let me first also respond to an issue which was raised around the follow-up programming after declaration of a site. I think that's why we had a lot of programs with some of our community art centers, where we built them and then basically after that they were left there unattended and they became white elephants as we put them. And that's what we have done in our planning. If you recall when we came to present our strike plan, one of the pillars in our planning framework was an issue of life cycle management. And that's what we were trying to inculcate in the planning process of the department. What we're saying there is it shouldn't stop really at just the construction of the particular sort of facility. We should also think beyond that and basically make sure that programming does happen in those facilities that we have built. So that's something that we have inculcated and something that we're planning to address going forward as a department. And I think it also will speak into the issues of maintaining flats, because one of the shortcomings that has been identified with the installation of the flats is that people don't have enough knowledge around the flats, how they should be managed, how they should be installed, in what form, and so forth. So those kind of things are things that have come out during the rollout of that program, and I think there are lessons that have been learnt in there. And that's why we're saying in our recommendations, and that's something that's also going to come up when we come and present our annual review report, that we need to build a program that is going to begin now to educate our communities as to how they should manage their flag of South Africa. So that is something that we're going to be following up. And then the issues of access to our arts and cultural offerings, whether it be museums, monuments, and all of that. I think as government, we need to give effect to what we have been talking about for some time now, what we refer to as integrated development planning. I mean, we've actually branded this word. We've been talking about integrated development planning, but what does it really entail? It means, therefore, when, for example, we are going to put a statue or a monument in a certain village or area, we should also be thinking at the back of our mind as to how people are going to access that. That means we have to start speaking to the Department of Transport. We should also be thinking about other amenities that are going to be required around that area. So I think that, in a way, you are giving effect to that concept of integrated development planning. And that's something that we need to look into. And then in terms of the signing of the shareholders' compact, what is this and what do they entail? Basically, when we joined the department, I think we were confronted with a situation which I think the term that was used there was the arm's length policy. Basically, institutions were declared as more autonomous, and basically the department distanced itself in a way from those institutions, and we relegated that responsibilities to the oversight structures like the portfolio committees and so forth. And basically, it caused a lot of problems, because now there was misalignment of planning or priorities and so forth, and also you find that institutions now sort of diverge from their mandate and focus on other things, and they're pursuing different agendas from what the department is supposed to be sort of pursuing. And basically the leadership was not there from the department. We have to admit to that. And that's something that we identified and we said we needed to correct that. And one way of doing that was basically establishing the number of forums that begin to encourage that kind of dialogue between ourselves and those institutions. And then it terminated with the signing of the shareholders' compact. What this compact basically means is it's more of a contract between the executive authority, which is the minister, and also the board of the entity. And basically, it reflects the expectations of each party, and is expressed in terms of the art set of that institution. So we agree on those things up front at the beginning of the year, and basically see how those outputs are relevant to what we are trying to do as the Department of Agriculture. So we have that basically a shareholders compact that has been signed by all our public institutions, which basically underscores that constructive working relationships between ourselves as the department and the institutions. And what are the expectations, mutual expectations, which basically feed into or contribute to what we're trying to achieve as the Department of Arts and Culture. And the number of other arrangements that have been put in place to make sure that that working relationship is actually sort of successful. So in a nutshell, that basically is what the shareholders compact entails. And then the other issue was the issue I think the chairperson raised around the follow-ups and the verification of some of the data that was provided to us. I mean, I think the chairperson made mention of the fact that some of the students that we offer in bursaries do not complete their studies. How do we then make sure that we follow up on those? And that's the area that we are still lacking, I have to admit, and something that we need to sort of make sure that we follow up on those issues. And then also a request was made by the committee that we need to disaggregate that the information that we're providing to the committee in terms of, for example, the distribution of flags, in terms of the bursary programs, who are the recipients from which programs, and all those kind of things in the libraries. And that's something that we actually hope when we do get invited to the committee and to present our annual report, we will have disaggregated that information and give you some kind of indication how those funds and some of those projects have been distributed geographically. I think I've answered most of the questions. Did you?
I just want to comment on the IIC, whereby those projects were stopped during 2008. At the moment, we've got those projects that have to be finalized, because some of them, there were problems in the monitoring of the project, but we had a list of projects, about 30, which we're going to pay currently, coming from the previous financial year in this year. So we did request treasury for approval. We're waiting for that approval. And all the documentation supporting the payment has been done. As soon as we get treasury approval, then we will actually finalize that program of IIC, because we are phasing it out in the department. I just want to comment on the point. Thank you.
Thanks, Gigi. I'm answering the question on why the department is not transferring all the money to the project on the IIC and MGE, that has the risk of underspending. It's because of the audit report that has been coming from the previous year from the beneficiaries, whereby you find that some of the beneficiaries are not actually existing. And on our side, we face the big risk of disclaimer and limitation of scope and so forth. So we decided that it's better to transfer it in trenches rather than transfer all the money, because it would be a big risk on our side if we just transfer all the money. So the risk of underspending is better than the risk of limitation of scope.
So, Chair, could I just say that we've got a list of all the libraries that we've done, a list of all the names, as well as the persons.
I think one of the issues, okay, before I continue, are there any follow-ups from you? I'll call another one of any other member? Okay, another one of that. Welcome to the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just want to ask the DG to explain a little bit more. He said when filmmakers are making a film and the SABC hasn't signed to buy it, it's more expensive than after the interference that they signed for them. The rationale is not clear for me. Please.
Okay, that's great. So, I'm not sure what I have to do. Welcome, Honorable Dapani, to our meeting. What is Honorable Dapani?
An explanation as to why you exist, you exist in Pumalanga and not it.
tell them if you find out later. Thank you.
Chairperson, on the face key highlights, I saw sponsored the production of Azikwelua music production, which celebrates the struggle history of Alessandra. Who's the producers involved, and have you seen the script, and how many money has been put in this project, and who the artists are? So I hope it's not a Sarafina.
Let me start with the question which was raised about the 100 million. The 100 million rand, if I recall, was the amount of money which was not used last year, last financial year, from the library grant. We applied to Treasury. Some of that money was rolled over to this financial year. Not all of it. I know the Eastern Cape got some money this year. The Limpopo got some money. Can't remember one or two other provinces. Now, that money, all of it has been spent this financial year. So the figures which you see in the library grants here, these are figures of the money which was budgeted for this financial year, together with the money that was rolled over from the last financial year. So yes, that money has been spent. The issue around the SABC and this is, if filmmakers make films and there's no off-take agreement, so there's no broadcaster who said yes, we will buy your movie, whatever it is. They budget a lot more money for marketing, because once the film is done, then they've got to go marketing. They may have to go overseas and marketing there. So the cost, the general cost of the entire movie becomes a lot higher. Whereas when there is an off-take agreement, they know they don't have to market it. They already have a buyer. So the budget of the movie becomes a lot lower. And then the Jazz Festival, we get involved in events throughout all the provinces. When we did the Mzansi's Golden Economy, when we took it to MINMEC made an agreement that each province, we're going to have two cultural festivals that we're going to support in each province. We're going to ring fence that money. Each province will choose which events we support. The Western Cape chose the Cape Town Jazz Festival as well as the Carnival, the Cape Town Carnival. Other provinces, I mean, the Free States, for instance, chose Makufe, I can't remember what else. So each province has made their own choices. We get involved in all of them. Perhaps the Cape Town Jazz Festival is a bit more visible because it's the biggest jazz festival in the country. In fact, it's the biggest music festival in the country, both from the numbers of people that actually go there, as well as the numbers of people that come from outside the country. We are getting involved in helping. We are partnering with the province for the hosting of the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz, which is happening from the 26th, I think, of August. The committee is going to be invited to. But that's the Joy of Jazz. No, they will be invited to. We will invite the committee. But that's still taking place from the 26th, if I'm not mistaken. I must say, though, that there are a lot of other festivals that happen in the country that you never get involved in. In fact, what we did is, just about 2 weeks ago, we issued a call for proposals for all the promoters that have got events that they would like the department to consider funding. because in the past, the department, anybody could come anytime and say, I've got this thing, please fund it. And the department would say, there's a budget, we fund it. If there's no money, we don't do it. What we've decided to do now is that we do a call for proposals. We do two a year. We do a call for proposals. Everybody brings their thing, their events. We've got an independent panel that looks at these things and advises the department. That's how we do funding. If people come afterwards, they've missed the boat. So that the system is open, it's transparent, everybody knows how we fund. That is over and above the two provincial events that we have allocated for each province.
Can I just announce
the last the last question which I need to respond to is the one on the provincial allocation. I had already started with, responded partly to this. The allocations here, these are for capital works for the project. Most of this money goes to our institutions. For instance, the Eastern Cape, this is money that has gone to the Nelson Mandela Museum for the renovation of, I think it's called Ibunga Building. Most of that money has gone here. The provinces which don't appear here are provinces where we do not have capital projects, where we don't have institutions and we do not have legacy projects. Some of the money for the Eastern Cape has actually also gone into Sarapat money, because we started spending some money on Sarapat money last financial year. Gantolo, the Oro Tambo project, is not here because we only started spending money on the Oro Tambo project this financial year, not last financial year. So these are the money. The Northwest and Mpumalanga, we do not have capital projects in those provinces, at least not last financial year. But it doesn't mean that we haven't had capital work in those projects. For instance, if you look at Samora Machel, it is in Mpumalanga. We have invested money in that project, but not the last financial year.
Myself, so nothing can be done in that
form. Is that what you're saying? No, I'm saying for the last financial year,
mm-hmm.
we have a project in the two provinces.
Mm-hmm.
We have the projects in those provinces in the past. We have supported different projects there, but not the last financial year.
Okay.
My question is
not
The question around the IDT, we gave money to, we reached an agreement with the IDT, we signed contracts for the delivery of the Duba project, they're helping us with the Duba project, the Oro Tambo project, as well as Muyeshe, and Vayuk and a couple of other projects, which are all of Ujandaka's projects. We transferred money to them, which they had not used. So when the Auditor General started auditing our books, they looked not just at the money that had left our books, but they also went to the IDT and said, can you show us that you have used this money? And IDT actually said that no, the money is with us, we are busy with the project, but we have not spent on it. Therefore, the Auditor General said, that's money which has not been spent. So we've got to declare it as money which has not been spent, even though it's not in our bank account. That's the story with that. I think it's $49.9 million. As a Kwaelwa, that I'm not sure who produced that movie, but we, if I'm not mistaken, it was $150,000, which we gave to the as part of the celebration of the 100 years of Alexandria. It's not a very big production. It's a small production, but it's one which we thought was significant because it celebrates what they an important struggle for the people of Arewa.
Well done. Members, I'm back to you. The question was not answered before. Madam Chair.
Chairperson, it's not a question that was not answered. I wanted to make a follow-up on what I asked. And Chairperson, you know, sometimes I don't understand how you deal with us. Because I get so disappointed when you want to interject and make follow-ups, and then we are told that really we are not supposed to be done, and the checkers me and I does it sometimes and he gets away with it. Because I wanted to make a follow-up on this. I said at first, I know the question that I'm asking is not on this report, but it's for the public interest. That is the reason why I'm raising it about this jazz festival. I was going to say, for the fact that you are saying the Cape Town Jazz Festival is the most the biggest, yes, definitely, because this is popularized everywhere, aeroplanes and everywhere. But my point is, who does the marketing and publication of all these things? Because if you could do it with the others also, they would get, you know, people coming, especially people who stay in this previous cities that might be there. If there is a festival like that one, I want to make a typical example of a Standard Bank Arena. I don't think people from Soweto wouldn't be interested. They don't know about this festival. That's the reason why I'm asking. Thank you.
Yes, I think that the thing I want to do earlier that is to follow up. I actually have a question. Which department from the other spheres of government send the proposals to the national government Department of Africa? I'm asking this question, Chairperson. In 2009, this government bring in the Department of Rural Development. And rural development, I think arts and culture is part of rural development. This thing of festivals and filmmaking, and we can go on and on, it's only happening in the cities. And they're making the problems of the rural areas in the cities where the rural people are not even taking part of. The real history. And we can't keep quiet here sitting every time and we pass buses and the buses is more spent in those who have. Because if you look at the city of Cape Town, it's only Cape Town. In Western Cape is not only about Cape Town. It's more than Cape Town. And that's actually my point I want to make. And you can go to Gauteng the same. You can go to Durban the same. When we really want to transform, really transform this country, maybe if you're receiving the best plan of proposals, maybe there's a thing that you must look in as a department. Because you are the people who, maybe the panel, whoever, who might decide. This must be part of the criteria. Thank you very much.
There were members of other hands who went to so you are fully covered.
Yes.
Any other member? Business?
Thanks, Chair. The event. Look, Chair, there are, in support, there are certain things which we try to support. Our support goes towards ensuring that South African artists. We support training programs. We support that kind of development program. We don't do the marketing. Part, in fact, of what we do, we did that for the Cape Town Jazz Festival. We are doing that with the Joy of Jazz now. It's actually helping to provide training
for people that run these things, the journalists, and a whole range of people that support these things so that they are able to do the kind of marketing that Honorable Story is talking about. I think Cape Town just does more marketing than anybody else, and the others are still going to get there. But the startup bank Joy of Jazz, they started their marketing drive, I think it was a week ago. I saw their adverts are beginning to come out, and I think it's going to grow as the festival is getting closer. But no, we don't necessarily do the actual marketing ourselves, the promoters do that. I do agree that we can do more things in the rural areas. But I must say that there are rural festivals that we do support. In fact, part of what we will be doing with the KZN project is supporting the ring dance festival. That's part of what they have decided they want to promote and support because they see potential in the development of that brand. So we are actually putting money towards supporting the ring dance. We support Limpopo in the Amarula Festival in Alabu. All of these are rural projects. They happen in rural areas. They draw large numbers of crowds into the rural areas. And but I do agree that we can do a lot more in support of rural development.
Any other question on that
has already been committed but has not been transferred because project was given. It's the nature of doing funding, unfortunately.
Thank you. Members, are there any other? Any comments before we close? I don't think I like the format of the posting, or maybe it's because now it has become a trend. Whatever that you are telling us, can you, in your next report, if you are having a business problem, please break down whatever that you think. Because it doesn't make a sense. Well, some of those questions, they come because whatever that you are reporting, you might rather make the report longer with information than us, because whatever that we see, it must be the word now. Some of the questions that we are raising, like we were saying about the students, we want to see the background. Where are the students from? You know, because those are some of the questions that are asked when the people ask, these people are getting president, which people are talking about? This project that was placed, break it down for us. You know, let us see, we'd rather have a long report with more information than a short report. And I always say that don't think we don't read the reports. We read them and scrutinize them. And the more we don't get information, the more we cannot able to. Because one of the questions that I asked earlier on was to say that we haven't broken down. What I think I still need to say, investing in child subjects, what did we do? How did we break it down? It's very important for us to know where did the money go. So that whoever says, as defender of the department, I can see where the money went. I'm commenting on the issue of this invite teaching, and I'll reiterate it. Don't invite us when you don't want to invite us. Let us not get invitations on the last minute. And when you get to this department, to this story event, don't treat members like, I don't know, I don't have the words for it. And we've been raising this issue. It's like we on clown funny out the clown. We can't, you know. Because you come to the last year festival because I'm very observant. When members are not available, they give the children the tickets. They are not let in the festival. But CEOs who have been invited gave their friends the tickets. They are let in. Well, what do you call that? You know, so that's why you don't see us in some of those events, really. The only event that you can really play is that social coin because of that Jabu guy. Otherwise, but don't invite us if you're going to. I was even removed at some stage, that social coin. I think you'll remember the event by one lady from. Any people at events are watching? Yokoni and the colored lady, she's Indian, I think, or colored. By one person who said to me, I must move so that we saw it from a seat, or they'll call the presidential security to remove me. Then I said, okay, call them. If you remember that event, and then I said, no, call, it's a lady from the president. I think it's one of those letters that it's a protocol person. And I said, come and lift me up from the chair. I'm waiting for you. I'm not going to move. You know. And we don't need to behave like that. You know. And you can't have a lot of people at events, DG, in your department. The next thing, you don't even know where members are supposed to sit. They sit, they are removed. No, Minister Soso is coming. You know what they did? They removed former deputy, Magwanisha. They said, no, move. One deputy minister coming to sit, and he's the deputy minister. They don't know him. They don't know what he appointed. They remove him, and then I think who did they put in?
But the picture that was sent was that a black deputy minister is removed and then a white deputy minister is put. Because they don't know the people. If they don't know them, why? Don't they ask? Those are some of those little things that you watch in this. So allocate people for us. Don't move us like cows. You know, DG, one of the departments that deal very best with, maybe depend on them. You the Department of Transport. I don't know, even when I was a government official, people when they see the president, I don't know whether they go cuckoos or what happens in their head. It's like they must be seen. They just remove everybody. As the most important people are these politicians and all these people that you... I retaliated. You must ask that job. I sat down. Said, I'm not moving here. They must come and pick me up from the chair. You know. And you don't want to behave like that because it would give another impression about you as a person. So don't invite my portfolio committee members if they are going to be treated like that. And we don't attend. I remember there was a concern raised by one of the principals. I'm not sure whether the minister that you put wasn't that my members of the portfolio committee don't attend these events. And those are some of the issues that I raised. But when you ask them, they don't know we're not going to go in there. We don't know we're not going to be. Because one of the issues that we must know that when we go to these events, Parliament doesn't pay for us. It's our own cost. And for us, that commitment to come, I mean, and then you will be treated like that. It's our own cost. Parliament doesn't pay for us. Even me as a chairperson, it's my own cost. So those are some of the sacrifices that we're making so that we can support the event. As I'm saying, this is a question now, when I was asking, what are some of your staff members doing? You can as much as you want more staff, but if they don't have any job description, what is it that they are doing? Because they are there, they don't even help. Then you ask yourself, what is the project officer in office doing, or who is doing what in this office? Because really, you don't know what they're doing, you know. You can't even access some of these places, you know. And it's just a wrong process. I'm saying go to the Department of the Transport, they will teach you how to take care of members of the portfolio committee and everything, you know. And that's why you don't attend the event. Not that you don't want. I can't say I'm there, but at the crowd, it's better to stay in the crowd because, you know, you are on the draft. Like tomorrow, a union briefing. I'm not going to that stage. So, yeah, I'm going to the grass because there you are fine with people. They offer you even beers and feed them and combo cheese. So you get a bed set up. You know, we are tired of complaining and doing these things as if we and I don't know whether Sam, the message is passed to the principal Mashati, especially by that head of office in Uland. We don't have personal issues about it came there, but you don't treat us as if we are interested to the people of people who don't know what they're doing. So any member wants to comment on that, I see them here.
If I just want to add the other thing.
I'm surprised my story is quite on.
When I attended the Nelson Mandela birthday there in Lourutsi, you know, the invitation I had to represent to my party leader there, and I went there, but the invitation said Zeres. Okay, I went to Zeres. But the festival, I asked the police in Zeres, where is the place? And then they directed me to Lourutsi. And it's another half an hour drive to get there because you have to drive very slowly. So you can't even plan your trip because you don't know exactly where. I'm an invited guest. And you know, it was not lekker. And I came late because of the directions that were so bad. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I attended, you remember, I don't attend this week, but I attended the one. And I went there with two of my kids. You know, the way we were when we got the, of course, like you say, it was like, maybe I don't look as old as I am, but we're like, pushed, we have to wait for, at that particular minute, if I did six to be here. And I didn't understand why it happened last year at 59 somebody said I must be pushed some with the kids. And yeah, it's very similar. So I try to say that no, I'm like a big person and the opposite channel. But then if you invite us and you say come to you too, and when you get there, the other person cannot come to me, that's also a problem. Because I suppose the father was not very busy and they were told to use the other door, and I don't think it's such that. I think if you invite us in to treat us as people, because that's what my children are doing. And they are even more equal than us.
I've just learned to just accept whatever happens. You know, generally, you know, public representatives of South Africa are treated in another manner. When you go to other countries, you know, they are very important people because they represent the public. If you could have seen me, you see, it's 7 years, it's not a place. When you go to a place where you are invited, you are expecting to be directed to a place where you are going to be doing your activities. As a member of parliament, not that we are being fast. You just need someone. Ubanwena mama, huh? In Gauteng, my place. Ubanwena mama, what do you say? Mina, you're a member of parliament. How do you answer? You know, because you know, there should be a direction of everything. So that's how it was done, and we're just hopping from one place to another without knowing, you know, from what we understand as the ANC component, you know, when we do our accreditation, you just assume this is the right place. And that is quite embarrassing, to go about explaining yourself that you are this, and people think that, okay, this one, I don't know what does he want, to what status or something. It can happen, but I ended up well because I am story. I ended up sitting right in front. When I came there, I was looking for the committee. They didn't tell me, I just walked up because I think that's where I belong. I went there. I was treated to Aunt Sophie, Stalwart, and Barbara Martigella. And next to me was Gizos. Mm. You can imagine all the important. When she was speaking with you, I was looking at her. I said, that's what I'm saying. Because people were denying me, I just took a chance. You don't have to do such things. Now you must adopt the other style. So, okay,
yeah.
Now you are like you. I just went.
Why do we deprive ourselves of those opportunities? When you go to events, you see a lot of the staff members with kids, some wearing half panties and trousers, and that is the right. Then you say, oh, the dressed and drunk, some are falling. Then you call those people VIPs. That's why the last time I said, give me the mask tickets, if you remember. Then I'd rather go and see the masters and the clothes. I don't access the IT because that side is better. I can drink them and fall. If you can have those people who are showing bums in our tents, it just says a lot about the department as well. I don't have a problem with people showing bums. They mind are too big, but it says something. You just ask yourself and then what is ready. It's a run falling over those chairs and then you say, unfortunately, we're not there. Like, these are some of the things that you witness, and then you say, is this the reputation? Because one of the issues there, you were also marketing the department in those places. So if that's the marketing, then I don't know. There are two people that we always rely on, but lately we don't see them. So anyway,
somewhere themselves, they push them far away as if they don't exist with them. When you look for them, they say, all of the soldiers are sent by his power, yes. We are in charge. This is one of the things I think we should correct in the minister and the justice minister. So those are some of the things that you should correct. And then if, what saddens this is that we said you see members of other of this parliament in those events entering just very nicely with their best bunch of friends, and then you ask yourself, what do you, what is it? Some of them, they even write there, as I had an experience where people will say, I'm already in, and I'll say, but here I am, and it wasn't signed next to my name, you know, and those are some of the things that did it. So don't feel bad when you don't come, because we don't want to, imagine me fighting with Melanie, a whole PA, a staff member, as a public rep, fighting to come inside a stall of the budget we approved. So I think this is important. I don't know what I said in color that we are passing this issue to the minister and the deputy minister. Maybe I should ask that as well while I'm starting. It's as if people are being sent to us and you don't know what is what. Are you raising these issues? Can you just get an honest answer? Chef, we would agree on the proceedings in preparation, but come the actual day, people do their own thing. And you could just can't help it.
But you report the thing.
We do.
What we are raising.
I mean, even here. At study group level and in the committee, you do raise the issues with the deputy minister and minister. They are quite aware.
So I think you're developing under my term.
Not the same chairperson. I think the reason why the allocation this year on Cape Town Jazz, it was referred from the DG's allocation to the minister, or DM and the minister, it was on that basis that we went back to them and complained, as you complained to us, and indicate those reasons that you have given us. And I think also what I can suggest here is, to me, we should not reduce this matter as a political matter. It's a really administration issue that ourselves in the department, we have to sort it out jointly with the secretaries here in your office. And my suggestion is that we will start to implement from now on in terms of what should happen. For in case, the other difficulty is that if the event is not in Cape Town, if it's in Cape Town, it's much easier because we are all close to each other. But if it's in other provinces, the accreditation is done from the day before and on the day of the event. And my suggestion, it would be that the portfolio committee should then release one of the officials the day before to come and work with us, ever province we were having that particular event, so that they collect all the accreditation of the portfolio committee members. And that person will then be responsible in terms of directing you where to go, where to find him, to avoid all these problems. And those are my suggestions. We'll work on it. It doesn't need you politicians and the DG. We'll sort it out. I promise.
With the minister, I was very offended last year when I said to him, don't invite us to the event, we'll buy on this. So he was very, very offended with that statement. And I didn't raise this issue. I want to raise, it's not only in county, but entities DG, they are much better than me. If this event was this place in Cape Town or any other place, they send invitations and they will do follow up. Are members still coming or what is happening and all that? Those are some of the issues that you see us on their events and you don't see us on your events. The deputy minister saw in the meeting and asked, why another event but you don't come to a departmental event? And I was saying, it's because of the treatment that we get from the other entities or other places. You know, they call in advance, then they say, okay, this is in advance and bye-bye, and then they ask for members in advance. And this is authentic. Even the breakfast show that we had, we were invited by another ABC members. And when we said that, I think that was you with them. That deputy minister was offended. Why are you going to sit in a table provided by an entity when the department is provided? It's because, and what happened? You told us 3 days before, that entity told us 2 weeks before. So I think there's some of the issues that, and you get offended when you do these things, and then you say, we are not, I thought I should raise this today. They get offended, the politicians, but now they think, what message are you sending to other ministers? You know. So I thought today, I should raise it. I know I can invoke some emotions now. Okay. Martana?
Thank you, sir. You remember the last time the Mapungu was there, where I was invited? Yeah, I want to give praise to Wei for one. You know, sir, yeah, look, you know, you are calling, where, how far are you? The honorable minister. It's like, you know, even if I didn't want to go, you know, like I say, I'm not very posher, but I have to go. He was like calling, and when I got there, you know, it was people mess and happen. You know, he was there for me. There were like, you don't go in there. He said, don't go near that place until I come. Then he came. And, you know, he pushed, let's say, the honorable membership go through, and we withdraw him, and we had to sit with the MPP. Because he really, that's what I think is that he took the summer into their way, they saw it against each other. He was really doing his job. And I told him to push that out, and I was very important to him. He was like, you don't touch me, my son will give you.
Okay.
Maybe because it was a smaller festival, the big one gave a change.
Thank you, Chief. Now I want to raise maybe another thing, and that was the absolute frustration with the Social Cohesion Summit, not the summit itself, but as MP, we did not know the night before whether we could attend or not. The budget or whatever, I felt sorry for Johnny because we all jumped onto him, and I believe the chief whip had to give the okay. But that was very frustrating. You must raise that with someone.
Okay. I think on that one I will just clarify the members, because I thought that members should not pay for themselves. I refuse that members must pay for themselves, whether it's a hotel or flight tickets or whatever. I fought for that. But the challenge with that was that, remember, it was during a constituency period. So there are certain rules during that time, you know. So they couldn't find the chief to approve because it was a constituency period. So then I went to the house and I found him there. Then I made him sign there, you know. So there it was. Because of those technicalities, because I would really regret if members had to pay so much money for the 2 days. I just thought that Parliament had to pay for them. And I made a big dojo in all these offices. So that's why he was not sure what to do. So that's where the challenge was. It was just to get the chief to approve it, because it was a condition for the talk. But at least I could do it until it was signed, you know. You see, the earlier I get the invitation, the earlier I can go into do it in some of these big offices. So that was one of the issues. But members, I think now we have addressed, I think the message is very clear. Not only to the DG, to the department as well, you know.
And Sam.
And so it's very clear, because these are some of the issues you see that media picked up, and they would want you to respond, and then you refuse to respond, you know. And one of the journalists was saying, oh, you like defending this department. I told them, I mean, I don't do first things, you know, and we just want to give opinion about it. And this is one of the things that I always correct is that when you give it members, you're not dealing with illiterate people. I remember one of these entities comes up, they say, these members don't respect me. I will rob them. Where are they today? You know, because they came with that mentality that these are all
profession. Almost all our woman is able to be signed on or signed with, because they know. So people come with that mentality. Those are old members of parliament. They don't understand these things. They're not educated. They're going to the wrong place, unfortunately. I think we've come to end of the meeting. And I'm sad to be here.
But it's something that I think we need to put it right. When we go out on parliamentary oversight, and we go with the entourage of officials or administrators, you know, I watched from this very last one, where I saw the chairperson of the committee struggling alone, where we had an entourage of almost the same number as the MPs, not even trying to help the chairperson. I'm not speaking about other members, not person, but in fact, even the other members have to be helped for you. It's just a remark that next time such things in Marathas is not happen again. Thank you.
I think one that issue and my children have raised it with what the issue is gonna your with Miss Nan. I thought she'll be here in this meeting. I think in the next meeting that we're having, this is not the issue that we're raising, because I don't see us taking a lot of stuff when they don't know what to do.
Mm.
Is it because they don't know what to do, or they're undermining it?
Mm.
I've been here at least for 4 years in Parliament, when I was under a compiler's committee, members used to just sit down. They would run, bring the forms to us, hotels, do everything. They would inform you about the time. I remember Ms. Mota, they were coming at me, mad as hell. I think those are some of the issues that will I'm that meeting when Ms. Vanelli will be, because I one of the issues, I think people think I'm very harsh. That's why I couldn't work with Ms. Vanelli. Because when you undermine members of parliament, then me, I'll take it very carefully, you know. Because people cannot think about themselves before members of parliament, you know. So that's one of the things I think in our meeting, we should iron out. Really, I know you were very frustrated when you saw that, but okay. I just said the survival of the fittest, so we are going to go around them, you know. Maybe, Master, we should take some of our staff members to other parliaments outside South Africa. That's next door here, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, or Angola. Maybe they will learn how those are some of the issues, and unfortunately, they are coming during our government, then it says, let's undermine place, or let's undermine authority, you know. Nothing personal about it, it's the truth that is really coming on it. And it happens everywhere. But DG as well, in our oversight, don't bring up senior staff who can't answer questions. I don't have a problem with people accompanied by a senior member, not in junior staff. I was also a junior staff member as well. But sometimes when they can't answer us, but we keep on attack. Thank you. It's lunch time. Then I'll be an
arm.
We are hungry. Okay, I'll just do that.
Might. If you talk about that committee section, because it's getting wet, do you like it? I really want to understand what are the discussions that are discussed by the chair when they meet. Because if the men and them are supposed to be there. But I know what happens is that the chair of chairs, they become friends to the head of
members
of the committee section. And when they come there, they come with a ready-made agenda. And the responses that they are going to be teachers. But I will urge you, Chairperson, I trust you, that you can really keep that. And this is one of the things that should come up in that meeting, because I think so many have overstayed the parliament, they are doing their own thing, really. Because the stuff that they sent to our written communications committee, in one of the visits, and the stuff that they sent to us
was just useless. They didn't know what to do. Actually, I don't know why did they go there. And this, and I must tell you, we're in Pretoria, and in a hotel. What a coincidence. When we were there, Nene was there with other people. And I told you, you know, the struggle that we had with the old stuff. It was like I'm just, you know, relating a very strange story to her. But I think these are the things that must come up in that meeting of chairs.
We don't want to try, because you said the other challenge is that, as I said, that staff are transportation. One international trip, we found out that staff members put themselves in suits and,
yeah.
And members in normal rooms. You see, DG, if I did not remove those who that advocate, we would still have that problem with the one that we talked about. That's one of the challenges. We would still be having a problem with it. I wrote a letter that that woman was removed. I don't understand law, it's fine, I don't care, but I don't want him. I'm becoming the most unpopular chairperson in this place. If we did not remove her, we had not, we would not have that fruitful debate yesterday. I wrote a letter that she must be removed, and then a senior member to the chair is a friend to the acting parliament secretary. And I'm writing a very silly letter, and I'm still waiting for a response, you know. And unfortunately, I was not defending the department, I was defending the president and the Council of Commons. There's good things, a lot, members and the DC, thank you so much, and thank you, Papaya, for no comment about coming.
I will be with you first.